You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Say, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough.
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters. We've made it to 30 episodes, Kylan. This is episode 30, or issue 30. I'm still, after 30 issues, I'm still calling it the wrong name.
It's okay. It happens.
But for special for you guys here on issue 30, we have with us Andy and Heather from Motherwave Creations.
Sup, dogs?
Hello.
What'd it do?
And we have very special guests, Rob Turk, the manager of Gandersnitch the Goblin. We've been telling you guys we're going to have him. Well, he's here with us.
Woohoo!
Hello.
And I heard we may get a visit from a goblin later tonight.
If he can get out of the trunk.
Well, the funny thing is, Vicky asked if you're bringing him up in the trunk. Yes, last week when we were at the Malton Meeple, she asked, is he just going to put him in the trunk?
Yeah.
He has a pickup truck.
I have a pickup truck.
Oh, that's perfect. He's probably got a like, nice little home built in there.
Yeah. I didn't actually think about that. Yeah. Who knows where Gandersnitch is right now?
Or maybe you have like a trunk in the trunk.
Yeah.
So, We'll get to Rob here in a little bit. We got a little bit of housekeeping like we always do at the beginning of every show, guys. But Kylan, this week, let's have an update. What have you and Dawn done this week? Anything special?
Oh, don't go there.
Oh, boy. I've been reading and she's reading and getting ready for the holidays. And
did you start on that book I gave you?
I have not, but I am. But you know what? I have actually a free Sunday, and guess what I'm doing?
Reading Good. Hitchhiker's
You're
Guide.
You're reading Hitchhiker's Guide.
Well, no. He's got a book we're going to review here on the show.
No, right. No. I'm outing him. Kylan hasn't read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Well, you read the cover.
Yeah, I read the cover, and yeah. I'm familiar with it.
He saw the movie.
You read it from cover to cover?
Well, yeah, if you know, the front to the back, does that count?
He read the spine.
I read the spine.
Exactly.
I gotta keep my geek cred up. I will do Geeksters, I apologize.
My
10-year-old
kid read that book.
When she was 9.
That's true.
that's thug.
Yeah, he's a gangster.
That's geek thug going on, like, you know. I'll get it back. I will.
For Geeksters, for you who don't know, we've not mentioned it yet, but I've already read it. Kylan is in the process, or soon hopefully going to be reading. We're reading Empire of Imagination. Now, as soon as all of us have had a chance to read through it, we'll do another book review on it, and there may be other things coming with that too, but we're going to do a book review on it. Anybody who doesn't know what it is, Empire of Imagination is actually, from what I've told and been read, that worked.
Yeah, that. Told and read at the same time.
It's the first ever actual biography of Gary Gygax.
Who's that?
Master D&D himself?
That's right. The man who created D&D with help of many others, but it's great because I guess there's been hundreds, everybody should know this now, there's been hundreds of books about the origins of D&D. I mean, there's all over the place. In the geek world, in the geek libraries, you can't throw a stone without hitting a book about D&D.
You can't swing a dead kobold without hitting a book about D&D.
That's right. But this is the first time Michael Witwer is the author. He's actually the son. If anybody's ever heard of Sam Witwer, the actor, well, it's his actual brother.
A long time ago in Greece, there was a story about this guy named Oedipus Sorry.
Wait a minute.
Sorry.
Wait, long, I thought you said he's Sam Witwer's son's brother? Or Sam Witwer's brother's son?
I was hoping no one would notice that slip.
Is that his nephew? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's the brother of Sam Witwer.
Oh.
And there's no sons involved at all.
Not as far as I know.
Evidently, they had a father. Yes. We can assume that, but...
Yes.
All right. Okay.
But he wrote the book. He actually did a lot of research. And the cool thing is, in the book, he references everywhere that he... Because the way he tells the story, or the book, it's like a narrative story. Where each chapter is another story out of Gary's life, like Gary's telling the story.
Nice.
But he also has footnotes that go back to the bibliography and everything else that reference where he got the actual information. So, but it's not... Other bios and stuff that I've read and seen are really dry. They just tell you the facts as you go. And
right, right.
This one here, like I said, it's like you're reading a story. So that's what made it easier for me to get through. I've already finished
it. You already finished it. Can I borrow your copy? Yeah.
He has
it. All right.
So when he's done with it, we'll see where it goes. Yeah.
So this one doesn't go into, like, what is Gary Gax's Thaco and anything like that.
It just tells stories of where he's been and how he lost the TSR. How he lost TSR in the mid-80s and what he did after that and things of that nature. There's actually a large section of the book before he gets to D&D.
Oh.
And about what games he was playing, how he started Gen Con. Before reading the book, I didn't realize he actually started Gen Con.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it was like a little hole-in-the-wall place where I guess Gary Con's at now or something. Yep. Is there.
Mm-hmm.
The Lake Geneva Horticultural Society or something like that.
Now, I have heard, and this is totally unconfirmed, Gen Con is expanding next year.
Yes, it is.
And I know that's true.
Yeah.
But I have heard that they're going to have Gary Gygax as the guest of honor again.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Through a seance or something?
They're going to dig him up.
Oh. I don't know that they're going to do that.
They're going to bring out a lich to
raise him
from the dead.
You know, totally, he would be a lich. Like the good version of a lich. Whatever they called him, I forgot.
Oh.
Yeah. Arch-lich or something. They were in one of the old second edition books, if I recall.
Okay.
But anyway. Totally,
but that's coming in the future of Geek Watch 1. Okay. So... Geek Watch 1 news. We have the Malta Meeple coming up. Remember, guys, if you liked last week's episode and the way that it was done... excuse me.
Cinema Verite on the radio. Or computer. Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. But that's what happens when you get Kylan together with Vernon. Everything goes out the window.
I wasn't wearing pants either.
They're a bad influence on each other, and kind of showed up with no pants.
We need to hang out with Vernon more often.
Dude, man, Vernon was or is 22-year-old me, and yeah,
it's interesting with them together.
See, thing is, he's 22-year-old me with 40-something-year-old me's influence now.
Mm.
Yeah, they're both a bad influence on each other.
Huh.
So, we got it coming up again. I believe it's the 28th of December is going to be our next Malted Meeple show.
Yep.
Come up, enjoy the milkshakes, enjoy the popcorn, enjoy a brew if you're old enough and you feel like doing that. They have plenty of craft beers. They can make their milkshakes out with adult milkshakes if you like.
A beer milkshake?
Yeah. They can actually add beer to
the
milkshake.
I have a question about their milkshakes.
Okay.
What?
Do they bring all the boys to the yard?
That's been the rumor.
You'd have to ask Jim. Jimmer Carrington.
But he'd have to charge.
But you can come and watch us whip and watch us nay-nay. That'll be fun.
Yeah. What about the wee-wee dance?
We can do the wee-wee dance.
The wee-wee dance.
Okay. Well, Andy.
Yeah.
You said there's some bunches of stuff happening with Motherwave
Creations. Man.
What do we got coming up with Motherwave Creations?
Dude, more than I can talk about on your show because it would take up the entire show. People would be like, get this guy off the air. We want to hear about Robert. And Gandersnitch. Anyway, right now, the most important thing going on in Mother Oyth land right now, I guess it's kind of redundant to say Mother Oyth land, because Oyth is already a planet. You dig?
Yeah.
You dig, all right, anyway, man. So starting next week on lowteak.com, which is the official Mother Oyth Creations store online, also at oddmall.info and at cononthecob.com, Monday begins... The famous annual 4th of July in December sale. Right on. There's going to be all kinds of awesome sales going on at lowteak.com. You've been interested in picking up a copy of Low Life. I know you have. An Alpha Bee Soup, the whole Dementalism, Gazoink, original artwork, 50% off. K catch that. That's like a big deal.
That is huge. That's a super huge deal.
Original artwork that usually runs $300 to $500, you can get for $150 or less, even, for some of them.
Or less.
Yeah, I mean, this is stuff that, you know, when I'm dead, it's going to be worth, like, gazillions.
It'll be worth many, many clams.
It's
going to
be worth a lot of bees.
Dance for your bees.
It's gonna be worth a lot of bees. Anyway, so Lotique.com, Odd Mall, and Con on the Cob. We're gonna have a special sale. I haven't decided yet what the Con on the Cob sale is gonna be, but Odd Mall booths, buy one get one half off. If you already have an Odd Mall booth, you get one half off. And I think this sale, it might just last through the entire month of December.
Ooh,
what do you think about that? You think it should last that too long? Do you think these people listening out there deserve that kind of savings?
I think it's crazy.
I think it's crazy.
I think maybe until the first major snowstorm.
Ooh, we could do it like that.
Because now they're going to have to go and do it today.
We'll do it till like the Yankees win the Super Bowl or something.
That could be like 3 years from now, though, with global warming. So maybe that's not a good idea.
We'll see what happens. But anyway, I'm planning right now, throughout the month of December, tons of sales. Lotique.com, oddmall.info. And cononthecob.com. So much cool stuff. There's a lot of other news about those things, but I don't want to take up the whole show from you guys because there's some important stuff to talk about.
Well, you are our number one sponsor, so.
Well, yeah, but that's because you're in my basement.
you provide a pretty cool basement. Yeah, you provide the Mother Oid Studios.
I appreciate that. So, okay, I'm going to pledge one more thing. Pledge, not pledge. I'm going to pimp one more thing.
Pimp it.
Go to your favorite local game store if you're the type to go to such things. And tell them, damn it, man, I needs me some Low Life. And tell them to order Low Life and get it in the store because there's so much fun stuff you'll dig. And there's stuff that goes along with it that you'll dig.
Yes.
And, you know, why not?
My local game store usually carries it.
Yeah, they do. The one, you know, some of them are more favorite than others.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want my kids to eat and if you want these guys to keep getting pizza...
Kylan, you gave him the commercial last week. You gave him the commercial from Mother Oid.
Do you want me to do the commercial? No.
Kylan's got his commercial.
All right.
He brings in Putin and freedom and
green beans.
If you love America, if you love freedom, if you love what this great country was founded upon, you will support a small businessman like Andy Hopp. You will buy his game. You will buy it for your next door neighbor. You will buy it for his mama. You will buy it for his preacher. Do you want Putin to make a fool out of you? Putin isn't playing Low Life because he's stupid. But he's like, if I'm not playing Low Life, you're not playing Low Life. If I were you, I'm not going to let some like guy like Putin tell me what to do. I'm playing Low Life. That's all I'm saying.
It's true. If you don't play Low Life, the terrorists win.
That's true.
I think that's in the Constitution.
We don't want that. We don't want that. Do you want little Timmy to never know the joy of playing in the world of Mother Oid? Do you want that? No. I don't. So I really wish there was like Sarah McLachlan music playing in the background right now.
Puppy's dying.
Is any of the Mother Oid creation stuff available on Amazon?
Hell yes it is, but...
Well...
But it's better if you buy it through Boutique.
But the nice thing with... Kylan, what's so special if they do buy it on Amazon?
If you want to buy it on Amazon because you're just that kind of person, you should go to geekwatch1.com, access the
sponsors page,
access the Amazon link there, then buy 5 copies of Low Life.
Five of them.
Yeah. Now, would that cost them any extra to go to our website?
It's just like a couple of extra clicks, and that's saving you from carpal tunnel, and thank you.
Now, see, Andy, it's better if you actually buy it through Andy's website.
It is.
You know why?
Why?
Because if they buy it for me, I'll sign it and draw something in it for them.
There you go. And Andy draws awesome stuff, and he might sometimes write something offensive. And that's awesome. I love that.
Oh, man, you should see some of the things I've written in.
He has written some very offensive things. And additionally, there may be middle fingers and other...
Middle finger's out the wazoo. And also wazoo's out the wazoo.
But, you know what? To play this game, you do need dice. You need paper, pencils. Yeah. All these things are available on Amazon. And then if you go, like Kylan told you, if you go through our sponsors page and click Amazon link on there, you can buy all of your gaming supplies through Amazon. So you buy Andy's book from him on all of his materials, then go to Amazon, buy all the rest of your materials, and you help all of us out. It doesn't cost you any extra.
And you're punching Putin in the Jimmy twice.
In the Jimmy?
In the Jimmy.
Man.
Okay, so
I might be punching a Putin in the Jimmy.
I think this is a bad idea.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, I ain't scared of Putin. I ain't scared of him.
You just got on like 4 KGB watch lists.
You know what? My name is... Wait.
Hey, oh, my name's not Robert Turton.
Y'all just come meet me at the corner of Market and Market and
where are you going with this?
Where people get
Market in North Main. You can meet me at the corner of Market in North Main in Akron, Ohio, and we can get down to some gangster stuff like gentlemen. I ain't afraid of you.
Market doesn't cross North Main.
It doesn't?
No, wait. No, that's why this is
Putin to be wandering
around.
This
is great. You just heard Kylan handles his gangster stuff like a gentleman.
Yeah, telling people to meet him at addresses that don't exist.
That's exactly.
Those streets are parallel to
market
each other.
Market in Maine.
Market in Maine, yeah. Right? I said Market in Maine.
You said North Main Street.
You did say
Market. Yeah,
well, no, that tells you which side of Market Street to be on.
Yeah, Market in Maine, you know.
On the north side, right next to the subway.
That's right.
There's a subway there.
That's right.
Yeah, and Einstein Brothers.
Einstein Brothers.
Einstein Brothers.
Hey, that's the only subway in downtown Akron. You ain't going to find one on the streets.
No, there's another one. If you count the hospital, they have one.
Oh, yeah.
While I'm eating my subway,
while I'm eating my everything bagel, he gonna come and try to start some stuff, and then
you know, while we're here,
yeah,
let's give a shout out to somebody because
who?
Well, we're talking about downtown Akron. We're talking about restaurants in downtown. How about the Copper Kettle, man?
Copper Kettle
Soup Kitchen. Eat there; it's delicious.
Oh, yes. Soup Kitchen's awesome. Vicky and I've been
it's
there.
It's good.
Very good.
Now
they have soup there. Soup. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but it's like a meal, but it's like a liquid form in a bowl. What? You've heard of it before?
And there's comics in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, see, soup. I didn't know that.
We so you got to eat the whole thing and you get the comic on the bottom of the bowl?
No. Like you can eat and read the comic and then buy it later.
Right. Seriously, like, what was in the pizza?
I think you need to record at night more often.
There you go.
I feel like I've been listening to Wu-Tang Clan.
Maybe it's because Don's not here to hold us back.
I'm going to go try this soup thing, like, right now.
Well, the only problem
is a meal you can drink.
Yeah.
The restaurant, the Soup Kitchen, the only problem is they close at 5.
So the closer you get to it,
well.
So take your day off or say, hey, I ain't going to work. Go eat soup all day.
You know what's funny? Well, if you look, they actually have cereal on the back wall too. They sell cereal milk.
Actually, you know what
that's
they
just
eat?
Crazy.
When
that's a
when you come for Odd Mall in
that's
May,
that's cold soup.
Go there for lunch.
Oh, we can't. Oh, we'll go there. There'll be a whole line of us. We'll
that's
have a parade.
Right.
You know what? No. It is the time of season where you can reasonably say to your boss,
yeah,
hey, I'm going to take the day off. I'm going to go volunteer at the soup kitchen.
Yeah. All right?
Do that. Go hang out. Be nice to people and eat the soup.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
It's legit.
It's legit.
Good
stuff.
Day off from work, good soup.
You know what? I like the way you think, sir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that would never fly with my boss.
Six B's. That's it. Six B's. Yeah.
Okay.
Dance for your B's.
You guys are.
I didn't even see it.
I know. You gotta watch it.
Well, that covers, I think, most of our housekeeping news from Mother Wife. But let's get to the reason we're actually in the basement recording. Well, we're recording because we record every week, but...
And because I relegate you to the basement.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't want the neighbors.
You're banished.
We are welcoming with us entertainer and author Rob Turk.
Hello!
Woo!
Woo! I totally know that dude.
So, Rob, I said entertainer and author, but who are you? Describe to the geeksters who you are. Who is this man we are seeing sit across from us?
On my business card, it actually says creative genius. I printed that before I met Andy. So, I think the bar has been raised considerably, and I got to rethink that one. But,
his tagline is mad genius.
Mad genius.
Yeah.
Just for the record, I've never called myself a genius.
No, the president of your fan club did that to your fan.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Yeah. See, but being a genius in general, he has a fan club. I mean, come on.
Yeah. See, at least you got a fan club, man.
Well.
It's me.
You're not my only fan.
I'm your fan.
Thank you. Yeah, we're so fans of you.
He got four.
I got a whole bunch.
Are you going to get a newsletter or something?
I was at Gen Con.
You get the official fan club mouse pad right now.
I was at Gen Con and I saw all the fans he has. I'm just like, Andy. Hi, I'm just, Andy, you know, okay.
But just because I know a lot of people doesn't mean
anything. Oh, yeah, they're like, it's Andy, hi! Okay. And then pass out.
Let's go back to, you said you're creative genius.
Enough about Andy, let's talk about me.
Seriously. We've already done a whole show on Andy.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about Andy.
Well, my fan club actually does have four people.
Five now,
all right. Andy is officially a git.
Wait, we're officially gets too.
You're officially gets. Okay, that's two more. Yes, you
have. We have the card.
You haven't taken the oath, though.
Oh, none of
you have taken the oath, and I don't actually have the oath with me. That should be something I had memorized. I wrote it. I don't memorize my own stuff.
I understand.
I write it and forget about it. But I, you know, what do I do? I perform the character of Gandersnitch the Goblin. That's probably my most famous creation. That's how I met you all.
And most of the geeksters should have already heard Gandersnitch at least once before. Oh, Andy's got more stuff.
Andy's passing stuff.
I just wanted to put these out before
Andy's,
right?
Yeah,
holiday cards for you guys.
Awesome.
Holiday card.
Yeah.
Nice.
They say happy something.
Well, that's a good segue, too, because Andy just gave me a holiday card, and actually my latest book is a holiday book.
Well, let's get into that. Your mother, what is your latest book?
My latest book is actually How Gandersnitch the Goblin Almost Saved Christmas. And it's entirely Andy's fault, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. This story came about because Gandersnitch and Santa Claus hung out at Con on the Cob.
Right now.
Ah, okay.
And actually, a lot of people were very entertained. We were just sitting in chairs, bantering back and forth, and suddenly we realized we had an audience. As Gandersnitch and Santa Claus were, I don't even remember what they were talking about. But somebody asked, "Well, how does Gandersnitch even know Santa Claus?" And I was like, "That's a really good question. That's a story I have to write." So I wrote a book. It's a short book. Okay, it's longer than a short story. It's shorter than a novel. It's technically called a novelette. All right, it's about 13,000 words. It is available, not from Andy's store. It's available on Amazon.
Hey, wait. Where can we get it? How can you get to Amazon, Kylan?
I think if you go to geekwatch1.com, access the sponsors page, go to the Amazon link, click. Then you can get Gandersnitch's book.
There you go.
Okay, where would they go on Amazon?
Just like he said, you go to GeekWatch 1, you click the link. You can actually, in the Amazon search bar, you can type the word Gandersnitch. He is the only one at this point, not exported to China yet. So Gandersnitch will pull it up, or Robert Turk. There's a couple Robert Turks out there. You just look for the handsome one, the one that actually has books that are selling. That would be me. The other ones are like technical things, and you can read them if you want. I haven't. But I have four books up on Amazon right now. My first book that I wrote was The Completely Inappropriate Tales of Gandersnitch the Goblin.
I actually have that one. Yeah, I've made two or three chapters into it. It's actually really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I read it myself.
There you go.
Highly recommend it to everyone.
So, and before that book, I didn't realize I was an author.
Okay.
I was an entertainer. I was a storyteller, and I liked telling my stories out loud. But I had friends that requested that I write them down, and I was like, I don't really want to write them down, but if you'll buy them, okay. And we did a Kickstarter then to publish the book, and they bought them, so we wrote them down, and at the end of it, I was like, hey, this is kind of fun. I'm going to keep at this. So this is actually my fourth book.
Okay.
Nice.
What are the other ones you had?
50 Shades of Brown, the coloring book for kids with just one crayon.
We have that one.
Yeah, have that one. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. That was a collaboration with my brilliant artistic wife.
Okay.
I can write. I cannot draw. So she's
I know that feeling.
Yeah. So she does all the illustrations. And then I also did a book of mythical poetry called Goblin Songs. Now, a lot of people get confused on this and they think, oh, this is a book for my goblin bard in D&D. If you want to use it that way, okay. But that's not what it was. This was, I read many years ago a book of shamanic poetry called Shaman Songs. And I liked it, and I liked the fact that poetry was originally song, And that's how most people can relate to it. It's a song. And that it's meant to be read aloud. It's meant to have a cadence and a patter to it. And so I thought, okay, Goblin Songs. This is poetry inspired by the last tens of years of my life and having a family and being a professional goblin. So you can use it for your bard in D&D. You might be disappointed if that's what you're going into it for. But it's a book of mythical poetry. The one right now, though, How Gandersnitch the Goblin Almost Saved Christmas, tells you about Gandersnitch, a little bit about Gandersnitch's family. This is the first time you're getting to know anything about Gandersnitch's family.
Ooh.
And how he met Santa Claus and what his relationship with Santa Claus is.
Is this an actual print book?
This is not an actual print book right now. It's only an ebook. Okay. I've been asked to do it as an audiobook and do it as a print book. For me, as a print book, it's too small. It doesn't justify the cost of printing a novelette. Now, if we were in Victorian times, absolutely. We'd be printing novelettes left and right. Nobody does that anymore. So people expect, I think, in a printed book, a little more paper.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just make it small.
You make it small.
So it's more pages.
Yeah.
Well, could this possibly be printed as the first part of a collection of stories?
Yes, yes. So this will begin the second Gandersnitch collection.
Okay.
Possibly next year. And that's the other thing about this book. It's a holiday book. So in January, it's going away.
Okay.
So you can get it between now and January and read it for the holidays. You don't have to celebrate any particular winter holiday, but it does deal with Santa Claus. It deals with a little bit of other winter traditions as well. Like all of my books, it delves into actual mythology. That's a funny word, actual mythology.
Yeah.
But so it's I like research. I like storytelling. I like mythology. So I
like big butts.
Yeah, I like big butts, and I cannot lie. Yeah, but
I'm about to say, Goblin gangster rap.
Maybe
that'd be something for Gandersnitch to do at Oddmall. Maybe
I can see Gandersnitch gangster rap. I can see him getting in touch with.
Oh
this.
No! Oh, yeah. I thought we were having a rap battle at Con of the.
We
Con
are.
Next year.
They're talking about that.
I'm calling him out. No, I kind of picture Gandersnitch as more like a Flavor Flav type. You know, you picture with like an old style like cuckoo clock hanging around his neck or something instead of a big, you know. Analog clock like Flavor has.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I've got a busted up cuckoo clock.
Sweet. Or like a grandfather clock.
A grandfather
clock. He's dragging between his legs.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
No. Okay. Let's get to what we had. You said your other books and things you started on Kickstarter. Well, you actually have a Kickstarter going right now.
I do!
What's going on with the Kickstarter right now?
Well, it's at 75%, I just found out. 75% funded, and we've got a 13 or 14, but you're not going to broadcast this today. We've got about 10 days
left.
Yeah,
it'll be about 10 days left.
So, in my first Gandersnitch book, there is a story that deals with a bunch of mythological characters, his friends, and they're playing a card game in it, a card game called Hogswallow. And Hogswallow, as presented in the story, it's a storytelling game, okay? It's you've got your cards, and you're creating a story, you're creating a situation out of the cards that you're playing. And from the very beginning, I designed this game as I was writing the book. And I wanted to print this game and have it go with the book for that very first Kickstarter. I was talked out of it, and it was a good thing that I was talked out of it, because making a book on a Kickstarter is hard enough.
Yeah.
Making a book plus a card game would have been insane. All right, but I've always had the game, since I had the book, kind of there, ready to go. I knew what it was, and over the summer, my wife and I worked on the art and got it where we were happy with the art. I took it to some different conventions. I took it to Con on the Cob.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and played it there, and it was well received, and I played it with a lot of different groups of people, and they wanted to buy it.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, it's time. Well, we're going to put this game out there on Kickstarter, see how it does. The game itself is a card game of mythic storytelling, okay? If you can imagine goblins and elves and trolls and just sitting around in a pub or in a courtly setting, competing with each other to tell a story. As we were playtesting it, I realized this really is a game for all groups and all ages. And when I first wrote it, I thought, no, this is for grown-ups, okay? Mm-hmm. This is for grown-ups that are good with mythology, like telling stories. And then my kids sat down and played it and blew me away. And my kids are clearly not grown-ups.
Yeah.
They're very small. And so as I started playing with other people, I realized this really is a family game. It's a game that's adaptable to whoever is sitting at the table to play it.
And you don't even need to know how to read.
You don't need to know how to read.
Yeah, anybody who's listening obviously can't see what we're doing. I've just handed Kylan the deck for the first time to look at them. Rob, thank you. You actually sent us one of the prototype decks to play and to show around to people and things. So, and each of the how many cards are in the deck?
There are 54 cards in the deck right now. There will be, for Kickstarter backers, a guaranteed 55 cards.
Okay.
Because there's going to be a Kickstarter exclusive card.
Ah.
That I saw some draft art on the table as I was driving out. It's not quite there yet, but it's getting there.
Okay.
So there's 54 cards in it right now. If we hit our first stretch goal, we're going to add another 12 cards to the deck.
Ooh.
And that will be... And what the cards are, I should explain what the cards are, is they have very primitive caveman-style glyphs on them, okay? Symbols, drawings that are open to interpretation, all right? So you look at this, and for instance, I'm going to show Kylan a card. What do you see there, Kylan?
A key.
It looks like a key, all right? But depending on the story, you know, you could turn this to the side and maybe get a toothbrush out of it.
Right.
Or maybe you've got a scepter or a wand here, and it depends on your imagination, how right. you want to interpret it, and you use that card to tell a story. Yeah. Each card for a sentence or a phrase, a segment of the story. So there were 6 cards that didn't make it into the original deck. Okay? They were when you're dealing with card printing companies and stuff, they really like you to keep it as a standard poker deck.
Yeah.
And the cost jumps considerably if you go to 60 cards instead of 54 cards. So we're like, we'll pick out 6 cards that aren't going to make it into the deck. Well, if we hit our stretch goal, which it's looking good that we might be able to do that, we're going to add those 6 cards back in.
Okay.
Plus 6 do-it-yourself cards. All right. The biggest part of this game, and I almost feel I'm talking in circles about it right
That's
now.
That's okay.
But the biggest part of this game, like I said, is that it's adaptable to whoever is playing it. All right? You don't have to be a master storyteller. It's just a way to sit down and have fun and an imaginative way, and you can be as competitive as you want with it. You don't have to be competitive with it. Well, one of the playtest groups, because there is a blank card in the deck.
Yes.
And to me, that blank card has a meaning by being blank. They thought it was a blank card for them to put whatever they wanted on that card that fit their group and their games. So they were a little more science fiction oriented. So they were like, we could use this card to do something science fiction-y to help adapt our stories in that direction.
Okay.
And like, but we only got one card to do that with. And so they gave me feedback. They said they loved the game. They actually enjoyed playing it better than Cards of Humanity. And they said we would really like down the road an expansion pack of blank cards. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I never thought of that. Okay. That's a good idea.
The art cost drops dramatically.
Yeah, I don't have to pay my wife anything. So that's the other part of the stretch goal. I really like that idea of being able to customize the game further for your own group. So there'll be 6 blank cards if we hit that stretch goal as well. So you can customize it you want.
And Geeksters, we actually sat down with Andy and Miss Vicky and actually Andy's daughter, Illy, with Rob this afternoon and actually played the game. And what he was saying about the cards being interpreted different, every time someone put out a card, each of us saw a totally different thing in it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
There was, what were some of your favorite parts of the... Now, the story we told was interesting and went all kinds of different directions because you never know where it's going
to
end.
You never know where it's going to end. And like I explained to you all, the point of the game is additive storytelling. It's each person using their imagination to interpret the cards that they have in their hand and play one card to add an element to a story. It's kind of like if you ever did in school a writing assignment where you wrote one sentence and then you passed the paper and the next person wrote the next sentence. You're creating a communal story.
We could tell the story.
We could tell the story we made.
Not tell the story, fuzzy. But carry the narrative a little bit.
Yeah.
If I recall, it began With toothpaste.
It began with Brad Breath.
Bad breath.
That dude was like, damn, baby, your breath stank. Talking to his wife.
Yeah.
Right? So there was toothpaste.
Yeah.
And then a ghost showed up.
Somehow a ghost got into the story.
There was a ghost. The ghost was selling stick insects.
Yes.
Or was giving it away or something like that.
He was like, anybody want to buy a stick? He's like, hey, buddy, anybody want to buy a stick insect?
Then someone got a card. Because
the ghost was like this, like a trench coat opened up. You know? So then what happened?
Then
they squashed there was the
fire.
Stick.
Well, no, there was a fire card, or one that looked like fire.
Yeah.
Another one that looked like a vase. So I had the one that looked like a vase. So we took the stick bug, some wood, ground them up, put them into the. And I said the vase was actually a potion that was made to cure the halitosis.
Yes.
Right, but something happened with the school principal.
Yeah, she didn't know how to
Vicky
read.
Vicky played the spell book. That or played a book that looked that looked like a book.
She said there was a magic spell, and they're like, but I don't know how to read, so she like called up the school principal who came out, and the school principal started crying, and her mascara was running, which was one of the cards we had, and you found out that it was actually her daughter. Like, the principal's daughter was the woman with the bad breath that couldn't read, and she was crying because her daughter was a failure and couldn't read. And then
there was some kind of
lozenge involved.
Yes. Yeah.
Like a chloroseptic.
An Altoid.
It was an Altoid, but it turned out to be a hot cinnamon Altoid, which made her cry harder. Then something about a dragon being summoned.
The potion went bad. A dragon came out of the guy's ear.
Right.
But as you can see, Geeksters, the story goes in all kinds of directions. You have never know what you're going to come up with.
Well, and the cool thing, the thing that I think is the coolest about it, is it's because it's picture-based, and you don't have to read, there aren't any limitations.
Exactly.
If you can convince the other people at the table that you just played this card that to everybody else looks like a bonfire, but you flip it upside down and suddenly you got a dwarven beard, if you can say that's what that is, and it fits the story and they believe it, go for it. I've played a lot of other storytelling games, and I'm not saying mine is better, I'm saying mine is different. I've played a lot of other storytelling games that depend on words, which, yes, okay, you're going to need words to tell a story.
I say, don't all games depend on words?
All games depend on words, but, for instance, there have been cards that have showed a beautiful picture of a king with a crown and a scepter and a robe, and it says at the bottom, "The King." That card is the king.
Right.
Your story has got to have a king in it if you play that card. That's not open to interpretation. He could be a good king, a bad king, but he's a king. Mm-hmm. All right? Whereas this one, there is a card that looks a little bit like a crown. Tonight it was played as a rising sun. So it's you look at what the picture is and interpret it how to tell the story you want. It's been compared to a Rorschach test.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That you've got these stylized caveman-like images, and everybody sees something different in them.
It's kind of like if you took, correct me if I'm mistaken here, take Monopoly, Risk, Stratego, and like a 2,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and leave them on your shelf.
Yeah, don't pull them out.
And play Hogswallow instead.
And play Hogswallow instead.
That's what the game's like.
Yeah, it really is.
I know we had a great time. Kyle, you had to work. You got to sit down and play this game with us.
Yeah, I'd be all about this. Actually, I think my writing group would love this.
That's another thing we discussed.
Yes.
That would actually be a good tool to get creativity moving, like in a drama group.
The drama group aspect, Vicky had brought that up last week, that it's very similar to what you would do in like an improv class.
It is. Yeah. It is. And with the basic game, we've set out three variations. High Hog Swallow, Low Hog Swallow, and Dilly Dallying. And already, from people playing it, they've come up with other variations that we're going to publish once the game is funded on the Kickstarter page so people can see how other people are playing it.
Okay.
Essentially, I made the game to be a deck of cards. Okay? It's a deck of cool cards. If you want to use them to tell fortunes, you can do that. If you want to use them to tell a collaborative story, you can do that. If you want to use them to compete for who tells the best story, you can do that. If you want to use them as inspiration in a classroom setting or a creative setting, you can do that. That's what it is. It's a deck of cards that's adaptable to any group, any situation. I don't know that it would get you out of a speeding ticket, but maybe.
Possibly.
You never know.
Depends on if you can use the cards to tell a good story to the officer.
Exactly.
I've been told that, I've heard that if you can make an officer laugh, you know, that might get you out of the ticket. I don't know.
You've never experienced this and never tried it?
I've never tried it. I just take the ticket.
Well, it's like the picture menus at McDonald's where you point at what you want to order.
But there was a guy that I watched once that actually pointed this out. The funny thing is, at McDonald's, on the drive-through window of every McDonald's, it says Braille and picture menus are available.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Written on the window.
Yes.
Braille menus for people who cannot see in the drive-thru.
Yes.
And well, picture menus...
You can't discriminate.
Well, picture menus written on the, in letters on the thing for people who can't read.
Right. Yes.
Well, maybe they have a literate friend.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Often reminds me of...
But it's just one of those things. You're like, wait, huh?
Yeah.
Well, so when the blind guy's driving through McDonald's,
it's not McDonald's place to tell them they cannot be in the drive-thru line.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's the Kickstarter. How can they find your Kickstarter?
You can go to Kickstarter and you can search Hogswallow. Excuse me. You can go to Google and type in the word Hogswallow, and this is Hogswallow. And we're like the third or the fourth one. Evidently there's some pubs called Hogswallow above us. But
we'll have to check that out.
Yeah. So, and let's explore the name here for a second, because some people have said, oh, that's dirty sounding. I can't play that with my kids. Hogswallow is actually a very old regional word for essentially what a used car salesman does. It's for telling a story, okay? It's for entertaining and deceiving at the same time. So that's where the name of the game comes from. It is actually a word...
I've always heard it with a P on the end.
Hog swallow. That's a regional variation. That's a dialect variation. There was one... Somebody said it earlier today. Hornswoggling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
same kind of thing.
Where I got that was... Hornswoggle is actually... WWE Wrestling has a leprechaun named Hornswoggle.
Yes. But all of these, it's a huckster word. It's a word that actually means something. It is not a dirty word.
But it could be.
It could be.
It's not in the dictionary.
It's not in the dictionary.
At least the one that I have on my phone.
Hogswallow is not in the dictionary.
I'm sure it's in like the Oxford English Dictionary or something.
It might be.
But it's not in the dictionary.
I know it's in the Urban Dictionary.
You said that Gandersnitch actually tells the story of the creation of this in your first book.
He's playing this with a group of friends, because the mythology behind this game is that it started as a trollish attempt to recreate fortune-telling cards.
Okay.
To recreate a tarot deck. Okay? And I don't know if you know anything about trolls, but they're big, ugly, and stupid. So they carved these runes into the side of slabs of rocks and boulders, and then attempted to shuffle them and lay them out in a spread, and really they just ended up with some landscaping going on. But the goblins saw what the trolls were trying to accomplish here, said, these are cool looking symbols and stuff. Let's take these and put them on a more portable device. Okay? Stone tablets, things like that. And eventually they've got them down to two cards, all right? And it was really the elvish souls that refined this into not a drinking game.
Oh, okay.
Low Hogswallow, that's the one that the goblin's playing. That's a very competitive, cutthroat version of Hogswallow.
Well, since I've read part of Gandersnitch's book,
yes.
I could see the goblins being cutthroat. They're kind of a bloody race, it seems like.
It depends on the goblins.
Okay.
You want to go into goblin history?
Yeah, we can
get into some of it. That's where I was headed next, was to, maybe later we can actually, towards the end of this, find Gandersnitch somewhere, maybe. If we can find him in the trunk or wherever he's at, and maybe have him tell us a story.
Have him Ooh. Tell you a story.
Yeah. Do you think Gandersnitch?
He's here somewhere.
Do you think Gandersnitch would have brought a story with him?
Did Gandersnitch bring a story? I don't know. I think there's a thing about Gandersnitch, a common misunderstanding, that he's literate. See, Gandersnitch has a fun name.
Yeah.
And he is a very interesting character. He's a terrible role model. And so he would want to tell you that these stories are his, and that's why his name is bigger on all of the books than mine.
Oh,
but the bottom line is that, these stories are coming out of my imagination, and Gandersnitch is really just a figment.
Ah, okay.
Lies! It's all a bunch of bloody dang lies. Really? You're going to sit here on the radio and take credit for all the work that I have done? No, sir. No, no, no. They wanted to hear about goblins. They didn't want to hear you blather about you having to put your name on the book so that the federal government would give us a copyright for it, all right? Illiterate my big toe.
Well, Geeksters, as you're hearing now, we are now joined by Gandersnitch the Goblin. Welcome, sir. Welcome back to our show.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, I got out of the trunk, but I couldn't get out of the other trunks.
Ah. Well, I'm glad you left those trunks on.
Yeah, no, I left them on. I did get several tires off. So I don't know that any of you can roll out of here tonight, but I think Andy has extended a gracious invitation for you all to move in. He now has free space.
So, Gandersnitch, Rob was actually going to tell us some of the goblin history, but being a goblin yourself...
Yeah, he doesn't know crap.
Can I say crap?
Yeah, you can say crap.
You can say crap.
Okay.
So, could you tell us some of what... of goblin history?
Goblin history.
You told us some before, but...
I did?
Maybe a little bit.
Oh, crap. I gotta try and remember what I told you before. It's all a conspiracy. I can't actually tell you the honest truth.
Ah, okay.
Because I think you said that.
Yeah.
I think you said that before.
Yeah, that you know, it's just like nobody really knows what's going on in Australia. Or if it even exists, okay? You've got the Travel Channel that is going to convince you otherwise, but until you go there, you can't be sure. Goblins have been around a long time, and I don't know if I told you this or not, but I think I did. Goblin is a Germanic word.
Yes.
Yeah, I told you this.
You told us that part of it.
Why do you want to know this again? Are you that dense that you don't remember what I told you?
We remember what you told us, but some of the Geeksters may not have heard the story.
And we get new Geeksters. Well, we have new Geeksters now.
We get new Geeksters every week.
And they don't go back and listen to what you've said before?
Not always.
What's wrong with them?
I don't know. I've never met them yet.
They're lazy. That's what it is.
It's
today's society. Look, here's the deal. Goblin is a Germanic word, all right? And it meant to the pre-Germanic people, the tribes of people running around in their socks or whatever, that it was a forest creature that came out in the middle of the night and killed you in your sleep, okay? End of story, all right? If it happened, you weren't telling tales anymore. When the pre-Germanic people mingled with the people of the British Isles... Yeah. And exchange mythology, exchange culture, exchange spit, whatever they were exchanging. they said, you know what, we've got a similar creature. It's a forest spirit. It comes out of the woods. It does not kill us in our sleep. It takes up residence in our homes. It lives in the cupboard or under the stairs or in the basement. And it is mischievous, just like yours, but it also helps the family. It becomes part of the family. And it's very interesting that almost every... early culture has a variation of this creature. The Russians have it. The Germans have several, believe it or not. The people of the British Isles. The French, they don't have anything interesting, just food. There's even Native Americans have the same sort of thing, but it gets weird when you're dealing with those. They grew up in a totally different state or something. So they got strange stories. They got a lot of things with they're very small people. They get very big and eat rocks and don't eat rocks. It's just not. I mean, Andy might need to eat some rocks and get things moving, but nobody else eat rocks.
Not anymore. That was yesterday.
That was yesterday. I have no idea if I answered your bloody question or not.
Hey, that was a good answer. That tells somewhat of the history of goblins.
Yeah. So and actually the story. That I introduce people to Hogswallow. It's in my book. I don't know if Robert told you that, but it's the story is called The Last Meeting of the Homeless Hearth Society.
Okay.
And it was a group of people that I knew, characters that I knew, and they were all house spirits from different parts of the world that had immigrated with their cultures and their people to the United States, and we were hanging out together trying to preserve some of our history, some of our common shared experiences. It all goes to hell. But now I've ruined the whole book for you. but the game lives on.
Okay. Did you have any questions for Kylan? We've not heard from you for a while.
Are
you awake?
He's just been laughing.
I've been laughing the whole time.
He's just been laughing.
Well, okay.
Gandersnitch, how long have you been in the States?
I cannot answer that question due to immigration.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. I don't want to get you in trouble.
I have a better variation on that, possibly. Right. How long have you been in the realms of man?
823 years.
There you go. Okay.
You've been around for a minute.
About 2 minutes. Yes, that's dog minutes.
I would like to ask you a question. That's been posed by man for at least, we'll say, 80, 90 plus years. Do you wish that they all could be California girls?
They all could be California girls. Well, as long as they're not all goblin girls, I think that's a plus right there.
Could you describe goblin girls?
You're not into goblin girls?
I am not. Nobody's into goblin girls. I mean, you've got major bloody issues if you're into goblin girls. One of which you might never get out. There's traps and things going on there. But, you can bleep that out if you need to. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
It's okay.
Goblins are, on the whole, even when we're talking about hobgoblins, they are, they're kind of crude. They're mean. They're vicious. They're competitive. And they're not terribly attractive. Now, I'm an exception to that rule, but no, goblin women, oh my goodness, no, absolutely, absolutely not. And all the goblin women I know will agree, they're trying to become something else besides goblin women, marvels of modern surgery. But, goblin women, it's kind of, okay, you know, like dwarven women?
Yeah.
You don't ever see any dwarven women?
No,
you don't.
The women and men all kind of look the same.
Well, they have magnificent beards.
Yeah, well, that's what they say. It's lies. But you don't see any goblin women either. Not because they're extinct. It's because you don't want to see them.
Well, if even the goblins don't want to go near the goblin, where do small goblins come from?
You've got to read the book.
Ah,
that's actually that's answered.
I haven't gotten that far.
I think that's answered in the book. Yeah.
It is answered in the book. Okay. I read the book.
Yeah, there is a story about where goblins come from. And actually, that story used to be a little more in-depth biologically, but my early readers and editors cut quite a bit of that. Yeah, yeah. There was the whole... Well, there's the whole conversation, and actually, Robert stole my game Hogswallow to bring it to the masses, but there's some other games that he's working on, too, that if this one goes well, we'll be able to make other games. And one of them actually is a monster dating game. Where you're going back to the idea of, you know, where do these creatures come from? Goblins, we've always been here. We lived in the trees, right? Okay, but some of these, like the centaur, we all know how a centaur happened, right? But we know how that happened. So the book did go into a bit more detail about, you know, where all the mythical species came from. And we decided, you know, you can learn about that in biology class. We're not going to cover that in a Gandersnitch book. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I had another question that I was going to after this. But you're telling such fantastic stories.
Yeah, where do you meet a centaur? Is that what it was? Yes.
No, I'm not looking for a centaur.
So are you saying that, like, so apparently, goblin women, let's say if they are in California, that there's enough plastic surgeons that we, by the time they're all done with them, we wouldn't know that they're goblin women? Is there enough surgery for that?
I think you would know. Have you ever seen Mick Jagger?
Is he a female goblin?
He could very well be after cosmetic surgery.
The whole dude looks like a lady thing.
Dude looks like a lady. Else.
No. See, I have this theory.
Yes.
That the Rolling Stones in general.
Yes.
Died 20 years ago.
Uh huh.
And no one told them.
Oh. Yeah. Well, it's because the Rolling Stone gathers no moss.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have no idea how that ties in with what you just said, but that's.
But no one ever told them, so they're still touring.
They're still touring. Yes.
I will never look at Mick Jagger the same anymore. Thank you.
Well, Yoda. Yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about goblins that went to L.A., Hollywood, Yoda, right there, he's the most famous goblin ever. He got a nose job. He got a nose job because everybody in Hollywood gets a nose job.
Right.
So he was much more. Employable, much more marketable with a small nose than a big long goblin nose. So
are you saying, are you trying to call Yoda a sellout?
No, he got successful. I mean, you know,
look at what he's done.
Now he's totally friggin' stereotyped. I mean, he's got no career beyond this set of movies and cartoons. That's his own fault, whatever.
Oh.
Yeah, but look at the amount of money he gets from toys.
Yeah.
I think Gandersnitch has an issue with that. No, I'm not going to take it there. It's okay.
No, go ahead. I just want to know.
I feel like that. You feel like that Yoda missed an opportunity to advance the cause of the Goblin people in today's America.
I don't think. Well, that goes back to Goblin society. We're not really about advancing each other's causes. Yeah. So we're all out for ourselves. Back my Kickstarter, or I'm out for you. So,
well, Gandersnitch, where did you hide Rob? Did you put him somewhere so we can talk to him for a minute too?
You want to talk to that hack?
Well, he did drive all this way and bring you up here
in the trunk.
Well,
of a pickup. It's cold. It's 32 friggin' degrees outside.
Well, here's one. Another question for you, though. How long has Rob worked for you as your manager?
He has worked for me for about 7 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what type of gigs and where does he get you to go? Because I know you're an entertainer and a barber.
I don't cut hair anymore.
No more?
No more.
Okay.
My license to commit barbarism has been revoked.
Oh, okay. Well, so now you're just an entertainer.
I'm Gandersnitch.
Okay, well, where can people see... What types of places can people come to see Gandersnitch if they wanted to see you?
Homeless shelters. There's this...
Trunks of cars. Yeah, trunks
of cars. There's the overpass over there on 77.
That's so funny. I was just thinking about this overpass in Seattle that has a giant troll.
It does. It has the troll underneath it. Yes.
That would be perfect.
He'll be at Odd Mall and Con on the Cob.
I will. I'll be at Odd Mall and Con on the Cob. You can see me at fairy festivals. You can see me at steampunk conventions.
Yeah, you're going to be at the steampunk symposium.
Yeah, I'm like a guest of honor, finally. Yeah.
Nice.
That was my deal. I said, you've got to make me a guest of dishonor badge.
Okay.
But yeah, so I'm around. We've got an on-again, off-again podcast. We just finished season 2 of our podcast, Goblin Talk.
I did catch that. It was a good show.
Yeah, it was one episode. That was season 2. there's books in the works. There's other things in the works. But if you're local to the Akron area, which you don't have to be because you're on the internet, but even if you're not local, you should come to Oddmall. You should come to Con on the Cob. I'll be there. I've got a website. They can go to my website and see where else I am. It's Goblin. You just put it once. THE. You don't put V and then THE. That would be stupid. Okay? It's thegoblinguy.com. All right?
Okay.
It's not gandersnitch.com because nobody bloody remembers that for some reason. So it's thegoblinguy.com.
Okay.
You could even put a link to that on the GeekWatch 1 website.
We could, possibly.
Yeah, I can see that happening in the future. Right. I can.
And if you want to back the Kickstarter, that's hogswallow.wicked-clever.com or go to the Goblin Guy or just type in hogswallow or Gandersnitch on any bar on your computer. We'll get you there.
Okay.
Really, you type Gandersnitch on the computer, they're going to know you're looking for me.
Can we tell them about the collaboration we discussed earlier?
Absolutely.
This is super cool, guys.
I don't know
Kylan and Ken
about.
Don't even know.
What's Gandersnitch?
Gandersnitch doesn't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's
about.
Right. I talked to Robert about it earlier.
Yeah.
See, this
one—he
made an under-the-table deal for
you.
Here's what you got coming up.
This is what I've got coming up.
Yeah, I'm sure all the Geeksters by now own a copy and have read my book, Alpha Beast Soup.
Yeah,
I'm sure they have because they're not stupid. I don't think. I don't know. Anyway, here's the cool thing, though. My man Gandersnitch is going to be recording the audio version of Alpha Beast Soup. How cool is that?
That's pretty cool.
That's news to him.
Yeah. No, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm going to record the audiobook version of Alpha Beast Soup by Andy Hopp with additions by Gandersnitch the Goblin.
Sweet.
Nice. But I can't wait to hear about that.
But then they said, Gandersnitch, I heard that you're illiterate. Is that true or is that lies?
That's lies. It's all lies.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Anything written or said by Robert Tech is a lie. Let's just put that out there. He is a professional liar. That's his job.
But that's why you hired him, right?
It was sort of a relationship of convenience. Yeah, he bought a house. I was living under the stairs.
Okay.
So how well does Rob's kids like you around?
I've actually only met one of his children.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never met his other child.
Okay.
I wanted to come to his 5th birthday party, and he said no. He got Spider-Man to come instead.
What?
Oh. Yeah.
Gandersnatch would have been so much more fun.
Oh, Spider-Man was pretty friggin' cool, though.
Oh, okay.
But no, I have worked with one of Robert's children, his daughter.
Okay.
She went to a show last year with me, and she was a pirate, and she helped me out with some of my, some cool. my stuff.
But actually, one thing you did talk about last time we were with you at Oddball was you're thinking about a possible doing a dating game on stage. Have you actually worked on this idea some more? Any ideas of
what
you're doing?
Yes, I'm having a problem getting the horse.
Okay. I have a sound
effect
for that.
Not a centaur making game.
I thought that's what we were talking about, the dating game.
But we were talking about getting all the weird people together. If you remember this, so have you advanced the story at all?
Well, we have part of my Bloody Brilliant show, which sort of is the Newlyweds game.
Okay,
if you've ever seen the Newlyweds,
yeah. Some of our geeksters are old enough to remember that. Yes,
yeah, I remember it.
So it's where you get up on stage and you ask questions of both of them and. The answers have to match.
Right.
All right? And they usually don't match, and that's what makes it fun and funny. Okay? So we have that, but yeah, I think doing a dating game would be good. I've volunteered to go and do the geek speed dating. I've never been taken up on my offer. Okay. Yeah. Never been taken up on my offer to do geek speed dating.
Never?
No.
Wow. Huh. You know, Heather and I did the dating game, or the newlywed game on a cruise ship.
Yeah, we did, and we crushed it!
We kicked butt, but we really won, but they gave the prize to this old couple anyway.
Well, they were married like 50 years or something.
So they should have known.
They gave them,
remember that one question was, what was the craziest place you've made whoopee, as they say?
We got
it right,
game.
But I wrote on the paper, I wrote on stage on a cruise ship during the newlywed game.
Oh, yes!
But then I crossed it out and wrote the real answer.
Well, I don't know if your listeners realize this, but at Oddball and the Bloody Brilliant Show for the Doctor Who dating game, Andy and Heather Hopp will be the contestants.
Sweet.
Why not?
We'll do it. We're there.
I got to get 2 more contestants too. Yeah.
Andy just pointed around the room.
Andy pointed at the cat.
Kylan and Don or Vicky?
No,
and
Ken. You and Kylan do it.
Oh, that'd be
cool. There you go.
Wait, that would be
great. It's going to be Kylan and Ken versus Andy and Heather.
That would be actually pretty cool.
Oh, God. It's going to happen.
What color of underpants does Ken wear?
The mic probably
Ken
didn't
seems
pick
like
that
a great
up.
Kind of
the
guy.
Mic's pretty sensitive. Probably did pick it up.
She said none. Yes, and right now, where she's sitting, she should know.
He's not wearing the kilt today.
No, not today.
But she should know anyway.
No, because I kept pulling the kilt up last time.
Oh.
So what else have we got to talk about?
I don't know where we're going to go with this.
In the toilet.
No,
we've already been there.
I know. I said this already.
Okay.
Are you about to pimp for your bees? Pimp,
I am. No, I'm a pimp for my boy.
Pimp for your boy.
Seriously, guys, if you have not checked out Hog Swallow, it has my sea lion of approval. No, my walrus of approval.
Walrus of approval, right?
It has my pinniped of your choice of approval. I prefer elephant seals.
Yes.
As my elephant seal of approval. Seriously, I'm not just saying this because he's sitting next to me. Awesome stuff. Awesome book, too. I've read his coloring book, and I've read the Inappropriate Tale of Gandersnatch
and
Seagal.
The Goldman, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yes. I know that.
Fantastic
guy.
Stuff. That's my pitch.
That's it.
Awesome.
That's it. Well, endorsed by Andy Hall.
Yes, and I'm going to get it tattooed on my left butt cheek. It's going to say, I read the book, and I liked it, and here's what I thought about it. It's going to have an entire like review of the book that goes down the back of my left leg.
Ah, okay.
Tattoo.
You look at him strange, Gandersnitch, but he's been known to do these things.
I know. I remembered a tattoo story, but this is a family-friendly show. I'll tell it to you once the microphones are no longer.
Well, Gandersnitch, do you have any tales you can tell us that are not in your book yet?
Ooh.
Maybe a preview of something to come.
Wow, that's putting me on the spot.
yes. Maybe or a joke maybe you learned from Santa.
Maybe an abbreviation of one of the stories that isn't that you have out there.
Well,
to tell people what type of story is in the book.
Well, in the book, The Completely Inappropriate Tales of Gandersnitch the Goblin, it's like modern twisted fairy tales, okay? We've got comedy, tragedy, true love, best friendship, bloody murder, absolute betrayal, whiskey drinking, one night stands, and a drunken raccoon. Alright? I've been told it's Guardians of the Galaxy, only not at all. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Everybody likes it. It's not a little kid's book. It's not an adult book. You can't see it, but I'm making air quotes. It's just a fun book. I've been told PG-13. That is essentially my life, is twisted fairy tales.
Okay.
It's you too.
That's Anne. Yeah, that's me too. That's why we bonded.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there is some sex in your book. Some of the S word.
Yeah.
Can I say S word?
Well, it's not graphically depicted.
No, it's just like one of the stories.
Well, you said, that's what the editors had removed.
Right, well, no. Oh, they just, they didn't want me to explain.
Ah, okay.
I gotta tell you what was removed from Low Life.
we're not allowed. Thing.
I know.
Too. We're not allowed. That one we can't get on the show.
There were poems pulled out of my poetry book because there were two mature poems. Mature poems in that book.
Mm.
And those were pulled out. So that will actually be Gandersnitch's book of dirty limericks down the road later.
Yes. Ah.
But they always say, don't tell people about the projects you haven't finished. There's a curse or something associated. It makes it harder to finish them.
Ah.
Yep.
Well,
so once it's out there, there's the whole, like, as an artist, as a creator, and I don't know if Andy can collaborate on this, but that you've got this creative frenzy where you're making something and you want to get it done so that you can show people and tell people about it or bury it. All right, one of the two, right? But and you don't want to be interrupted. And there's that whole stress of I've got to make this, I've got to get it done. Well, you alleviate 100% of that stress when you tell people I'm doing this, because somewhere in your brain it's like, well, they already know it's going to happen.
That's now why it's hard to have a Kickstarter for something that's not done yet.
Yes. Well, that's why whenever I've done a Kickstarter, it's always been done.
Yeah.
The game is made. The book was written. It wasn't edited, but it's done. I don't want to do a Kickstarter for something that's not done.
Right.
No, that's why I couldn't make a video game Kickstarter. Yeah. That takes a lot of money at the front. I don't have to pay they don't pay me squat. To create something, it's now to put it out to people. There's got to be the money to pay printers and things like that. But yeah, so I've got a couple ideas in the works. A lot of people want to know about my philosophy on life and how to survive amongst smelly, stinky humans. So there's a possible book there. There is my new book about Santa Claus and some of my family members, and I think that's a lot of fun. There's a comedy that Robert started. I'm just going to let him tell you about it.
Okay.
Thank you. But I agree with what Gannister said. I'm not going to tell you much. There is a comedy that I started writing just the other day. And it is I wrote the first chapter. I need to go back and rewrite it, because I actually think that first chapter should be three chapters. It needs a lot more to it. It is the most depressing, horrible, miserable thing I have ever written in my life, and the book is a comedy. So, it's a black comedy about the afterlife.
Why you gotta bring color into this?
Yeah, so it's
but that means it takes place in a barbershop.
It takes place in a barbershop. There's a quartet and everything. As my best friend who gave me the only four star review I've ever gotten on any of my work, he said it was better than Terry Pratchett, 4 stars.
Nice.
So I think that's I like Douglas Adams. I like Terry Pratchett. I don't want to compare myself to them, but I aspire to be able to have their mastery of comedy.
Right.
Okay.
is that's my aspiration. So I tried to write things that make people laugh.
So go read your Douglas Adams, Kyle.
Yeah, yeah. Or just read the completely inappropriate Tales of Gander Snitches the Goblin.
You,
it's
yeah.
the same thing, it's just not in space.
Well, actually, I had one question for you, Rob.
Yeah.
Now that Gander Snitch has left the room, how did you find Gandersnitch? What's the origin of... Where did this guy come from? Where did you find this guy?
He was living under the stairs.
Well, yeah, I know that, but...
The true story behind Gandersnitch the Goblin. This is not something that I tell a lot of people.
Okay.
The true story behind
Gandersnitch... Only us and the 20
and
people
your,
that we listen
and your
to.
Thousand listeners. I have been doing fairy festivals, Renaissance festivals, with my wife for quite a while. We had a company that made leather masks and stuffed goblin dolls. Once we started the family, once I had little kids and my wife went back to school to get her PhD, she stopped going on the road with me to shows. I got bored out there peddling my wares by myself. I had friends, but I was stuck in a booth.
Yeah.
And the magic that I had loved of all these festivals, I didn't feel like I was involved with it anymore. So I invented the character of Gandersnitch the Goblin to do a very specific thing, to entertain the audience while I was selling a product.
Oh, okay.
Now, it turns out Gandersnitch sucks at selling the product we were making, okay? He is the worst possible salesman to sell a stuffed animal and a mask. And that was kind of by design. We designed him to sell his own stuff. He sold horns, and he sold tails, and he sold ears eventually, and goblin amulets, and he's a barber. So he had his little rolling barber shop that could go anywhere in the thing, anywhere in the festival grounds, and he entertained and told stories as he sold a product. And it was a huge success. And it revitalized the creativity for festivals and fairs. And eventually, when I got to writing the book and everything else, Gandersnitch now goes places that I would never have imagined him going. Like to an indoor convention like Oddmall or Con on the Cob, or to Gen Con. Or he's been the vehicle that enables us to kind of reach out to people, entertain them, and at the same time give them a good quality, fun product. And I know a lot of times, if my book was sitting on a bookshelf in a bookstore, chances are it's not going to sell. It's not by Stephen King, okay? It's not one of those names that you think, oh, this is the latest by Robert Turk. Not yet. Eventually, yes, and you're going to want one of those signed copies. But it's not one that you pull off the bookshelf and you think, I've got to have this.
Yeah.
When you meet Gandersnitch, and Gandersnitch has got a book about his life, you got to have that.
Yeah.
So that's the actual true origin story of Gandersnitch the Goblin. You're the only ones that have got this. The funny part of this is both my wife and I have worked, she still does, in professional theater. Okay, that's what I went to college for. That's what my early career was in. And I was a behind-the-scenes guy. I was a stage manager, a sound designer. I was very good at what I did. I had horrible, horrible stage fright. So if I had to get up in front of an audience, I would get crippling gas. It was bad, all right? And it kind of ruined any aspirations of being in front of an audience for me. And my wife was okay with that. Gandersnitch the Goblin, the first couple of years I did it, she hated him.
Really?
She absolutely hated Gandersnitch. And she said to me one day, I didn't marry Gandersnitch the Goblin. I'm like, of course you didn't. I don't want you to find Gandersnitch attractive. No, and it was, I had become an actor, and she had not expected that. Once she finally got to go on the road to a show with me and saw me perform as Gandersnitch, she got into it, and she liked the character, and she appears sometimes on stage with me. But at the beginning, she didn't like Gandersnitch. And part of that is Gandersnitch is a terrible role model.
I've read part of the book, yes.
Yeah, he's a really bad role model. He's crass, he's bombastic, he's a womanizer. He's like, I am an introvert. Gandersnitch is not. Not at all. But the assuming a character, assuming a very specific role that was crazy, off the wall, had a mission, had a thing to do, not a script to read from.
Yeah.
I don't have horrible stage fright anymore. I don't know that I could get up and play Hamlet. It would have to be Gandersnitch being Hamlet. But
that would actually be pretty interesting.
Yeah. That would I would love
see that.
Yeah. I've heard that a lot with most of my performance know-how and stuff, the geeksters have heard, I'm a pro wrestler.
Oh, cool.
So,
Yeah, he is.
But that's where,
I did some movies too.
Yeah, I've done, well, that's, I'm getting, okay. Vicky and I are both getting into movies now and doing stunts and things, but I've been a pro wrestler for 12 years.
Yeah.
That's actually where I met Vicky, my wife. She was a trainee.
Is she a pro wrestler too?
Yes.
Can we see some moves right now?
Well, the geeksters can't.
No, no, they don't have, well.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was impressive.
But actually, she was a trainee. I was helping train the class. I had been wrestling for about a year. So, but that's where most of my performance experience that I know people is through that. And there's many, many wrestlers. There's one we know that stutters really, really, really bad. You can he can barely get anything out in the back, but you put a mic in his hand, he gets out in front of the crowd and not a stutter at all.
Yeah.
Because he's putting a character on.
Right.
And there's so many guys that are like that, that it's a totally different person between them and their character.
Yeah, I would say there's actually a lot of bleed through between who I am in my head and who Gandersnitch gets to portray. He gets to do things that a normal human being doesn't get to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of what makes it easier. I also use Gandersnitch a lot as... I don't know if you ever saw that skit where they did Obama's angry voice.
Yes.
I get to use Gandersnitch as my angry voice. And I have stopped. I've pulled back from it because what I am most angry about, I don't want to be around. Yeah. Political situations, stuff like that. But Gandersnitch is a great vehicle to be able to rant about something, to really get biting and cutting with it, and really make a point. So, like, if you read my blog, thegoblindie.com, Gandersnitch has a rant column. And it's stuff that, as a human being, I can't say.
Yeah.
Right. I can't get out there and say without making enemies, hurting people's feelings. Gandersnitch can say it, and it's funny.
Yeah.
Right. All right? Gandersnitch gets out there and goes off on something that we might all be thinking, and he can say it, and it's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people can look at it and say, wow, that was really insightful, but it didn't hurt my feelings because it's coming from an imaginary character.
Exactly.
Well, that you're touching on something that I've... Another one that from wrestling again.
Yeah.
But everybody in wrestling has to create a character
right.
to be who they are. But what you're touching on is a lot... Stone Cold Steve Austin, everybody's heard of him, The Rock. A lot of these guys, what it is that character you see in the ring, that is Steve Austin. That is The Rock. But
right.
you turn your personality or part of your personality to 15.
Right, exactly.
And so you amp up Stone Cold Steve Austin. He does like drinking beer. He is a redneck.
Yeah.
But he's not to the extreme that right. you see in the thing.
Right.
The character is an extreme.
Extremes are entertaining.
Well, my character in the ring, it looks like Ken Rose.
Yeah.
Amped up a little bit more.
Yeah.
I get a little more silly. I mean, I'm silly anyway, but I get... Especially when I'm tagging with my tag team partner, Eddie Insane. Yeah. We get real silly in the ring. It's crazy stuff. Kylan's come and seen it a couple times.
Yeah.
But it's just... You out there have a whole lot more fun than what you would normally.
Right.
And it's just you amp up part of your personality, and all of a sudden it seems like a totally different character. But it's, like you said, it's the stuff that you can't do as you.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
So, we're coming up on the end of time. Kylan, did you have any final questions for Rob here? Or for Gandersnitch, either way?
I cannot think of anything without...
I think we covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
So, we can cut out the middle.
No, we can't get rid of the Gandersnitch. But Andy, did you have anything else you want to touch on before we call this?
Not in front of you guys.
Miss Vicky, did you have any questions, you think? How about you, Heather? I think we covered it all.
No, it's been kind of a crazy meander
yeah.
and fun show.
Yeah.
Mm. Well,
yeah. You're ending on a low note, though. Nobody had any questions, so I'm going to have to ask a question.
Oh, okay.
All right? You might have to edit this out because I don't know. All right? I'm going to preface it with that. So you are a pro wrestler.
Yes.
Okay? And I see what you're wearing around your neck.
Yes.
Am I allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So, you've got this cross on your neck.
Yes.
I'm imagining when you say you amp it up to 15, that you've got this giant crucifix out there that's got Jesus on it, and you're just beating
people. Oh, no, that's his tag team partner.
His tag team partner on there.
Actually, my tag team partner is about 5'7"?
Well, it makes it easier
to carry. Jesus was a short guy. It's okay. Yeah. He was black, too. A lot of people don't know that.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Totally.
But no, actually, my character is a kind of a Sergeant Slaughter type thing. He's Black Hawk, a giant walking soldier.
Yes. So you don't shoot people.
No.
You beat him with a flag.
Yeah, I actually do bring a giant American flag out to the ring with me.
Oh,
and
there's
stuff.
The beating.
That's the beating. Yeah. I'm like, it's wrestling. Please tell me you hit someone.
But oh, yes, I hit plenty of people.
Guns, though, so. He brings the guns.
The funny thing, though, is my wife's the best character she's done so far. She actually beat me up in the ring.
Yes.
I won the what was it, the tag titles? Or what? One of the title belts.
Between two guys.
Yeah.
I ended up being bigger out. I was the biggest.
Yeah, well, it started. I had won a title or something, and then I brought her into the ring because everybody in the crowd. We were working at a bar.
Yeah,
there, you had 10 to 15 people there, and that was about it. But it was a chance weekly for people to get in front to practice in front of people.
Right.
But so my wife was always there. We'd been there long enough that everybody knew my wife was in the crowd.
Okay.
So during I win this match, it's awesome. I bring my wife in the ring to celebrate with me. I jump up on the second rope. Yeah, and she hits me in the nuts from behind,
nice.
And then just beat the tar out of me.
All right. Yeah.
And then she comes out.
Wow, that's like her dream fulfillment.
Well, I was going to say, this is a normal Tuesday night at your house, right?
The next week, the two guys that I had beaten.
Yes?
She comes out as their manager.
Ah!
And now she's managing a team of vampires.
Oh, yeah.
And for, what, another 6 months or so that we went, that she was managing them and everything they did.
Yeah, managers suck. But they're a necessary part of the business. Yeah.
Are you talking about your manager too, or
managers?
Ooh. Ah, managers and yeah,
all
managers in general. She was the funny thing is she was actually larger than both of the other two guys. They were all both maybe what 120 pounds.
This is midget wrestling.
It felt like it. They felt like it.
Well, they were vampires.
Vampire midgets.
But the next thing was midgets. She took the role of manager. Well, because a lot of people don't use manager in wrestling the way it's supposed to be, where a lot of times the people have a hard time figuring out what their character is and how to show it to everybody else.
Right.
So you need someone to hold the mic, basically, and work the crowd with
yeah.
the mic.
Yeah.
Well, that she did fantastic at that.
And book the hotel rooms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, they already booked. The strip club was next door.
And get the fan. get the, you know, the I'm not gonna not the fans, but like what's an unfan? Like the opposite of a fan, like a terrorist stalker
an in-fan.
Thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bizarro fan.
A bizarro fan. Yeah, managers. That's
a naff.
That's yeah,
a naff.
The ones that are just. I'm gonna meet you afterwards back in the alley.
Yeah.
Talk to my manager. He'll set that
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
And then you run the other direction.
Well, Gandersnitch, since you're here back with us now, why don't you tell the Geeksters once again, since we're finished, we're gonna wrap this up in a nice and neat bow type thing. How can people find you and Rob again?
What yes.
There's the contact information
okay,
for you guys.
You go to GeekWatch 1, you click the Amazon link, alright, and you type in Gandersnitch. That'll get you to my books.
Okay.
If you go to thegoblinguide.com, that gets you to Robert and Gandersnitch's website, blog, everything else. It's got links to everything else. And if you go to Kickstarter or Facebook and get the link to the Kickstarter.
Okay. And guys, Gandersnitch is actually spelled exactly the way it sounds.
Yes, with a G.
Yes. So, I want to actually, Kylan, do you have anything else before I wrap up the show tonight?
Just say no, stay in school, kids.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I want to thank Andy and Heather for once again letting us invade your basement.
It was our pleasure, sirs.
And Rob and Gandersnitch both, I want to thank you guys for being on the show. This is fantastic. You have an open invitation. Anytime either one of you want to come up, if Gandersnitch, if you can get Rob to bring you, you can come up and be on the show. We can Skype it any way you want. If you want to be on the show, you let us know. We'll make it happen.
All right, I'm here.
Maybe in springtime when it's not so cold out, you know, if you're in your trunk.
Yeah. I've got a lot of gigs in the spring. That's my busy.
Well, see, that's when you can come on the show and actually tell people where you're going to be.
Where I'm going to be, right?
Exactly.
If they want to see me right now, they've got to go holiday shopping. I had to take a seasonal retail job.
Now, does Gandersnitch work at the retail job?
Yes, I work at a store called Buy Stuff Here.
What do you do at Buy Stuff Here?
You buy stuff.
Well, I mean, what do you do?
I sell stuff.
That's okay. Customer service.
Yeah.
Well, that's how to get a hold of Rob and Gandersnitch, guys. Andy, why don't you give them your information?
Don't forget about my 4th of July and December sale.
Exactly.
At www.lowtique.com. That's just LOWTIQUE.com. That's your one-stop source for all things low life or me. You can get original art there. You can get my books, my games, all kinds of jazz, snazzy jazz and
snazzy
zazz.
Jazz.
You can go there.
Can they find you
week,
there on the interwebs?
Can
that way, if they want to talk to you?
Can they find you there?
Okay.
Not there, no.
Well, from there, can they find you?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
They can, I'm
Motherwood
around.
Motherwood
Creations. You've got your Tinder profile up there, right?
Oh, yeah, my vines and whatnot.
Swipe right.
Cononthecob.info. I mean, cononthecob.com to learn about Con on the Cob. This year's theme for Con on the Cob, by the way.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to announce that, because you just put it up.
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Wait, what is it?
Well,
oh, you don't know?
What, I don't know, is it the one we talked about?
I saw the pictures.
Yeah, sweet! Like Al Capone and the Cobsters and the Cobb and the Cobb Artists and the Bank Cobbers and the Cobs and Cobbers.
So what are you calling it?
You are fined 1 credit for a violation of the verbal morality statute.
See what happened?
Yeah.
That's what happens with caffeine.
I get to use my bleep button, yes.
Yes. We're doing it's going to be super cool. And here's the thing that people may not know.
Okay.
This is actually rather important and serious, so let me put on my serious face for a moment. Okay. Registration for Con on the Cob is live. ConOnTheCob.com. You can register. You can buy your badge. You can take advantage of the super ultra mega deal. Get yourself, save some green, as they say. Not parsley, but dollars.
Scroll.
So
you could use your dollars to buy parsley, so I guess you could save some parsley.
Save some bees.
You can register to run games and play in games already, even though I don't know if there are any up there yet, because we just made that go live. You can get your hotel reservation. Keep in mind, now this is important, hotel prices actually go up January 1st.
Oh.
So you want to make your hotel reservation.
How much are they now?
$89. They go up to $99 January 1st.
Ah, so we'll have to call and make our reservations.
You're saying, from what you're saying, it's almost too live.
It is too live. It's like freedom. It's like America. Con the Cob is like green beans.
Hey, wait.
I just want you to...
Kylan, what would Putin have to say about this deal?
Putin would say, what is this Con on the Cob? I don't like this Con on the Cob. I will break this Con on the Cob. And I tell you what I'll do, brother. You come to Ohio. You come to Northeast Ohio. You try to break Con on the Cob, I'll break you.
Wow. We were going to have bear wrestling with Putin as our guest next time, but now that I found out Kylan doesn't want that to happen, we're not going to make
Kylan
it.
Kylan doesn't like Putin. I guess that means Gadnesnitch will be wrestling back.
You know what? I will slap Putin so hard that he'll wake up in the Ming Dynasty. I will slap Putin so hard that he will wake up in another race. I will slap Putin so hard that he would lose the taste out of his mouth. That's how hard I would slap him.
Does that mean that if someone were to eat his mouth, they wouldn't be
able to taste it?
I would slap him so hard that his unborn great-great-grandchildren would come out well-behaved.
Wow.
Yeah.
Will you kick him in the butt so hard that he'll be pooping size 9.5?
You know what? I'll kick him in the butt so hard that the water on my knee will quench his thirst.
Wow.
Thank everybody for being on the show with us today. I think we're going to go and wrap this up because we're running a little over, but
Geesters. I got to go watch Doctor Who.
Doctor Geesters. Who's on tonight?
Yeah.
Season finale right now.
Oh, well, forget this. Let's go.
Okay, Geeksters, remember, go to our website, www.geekwatch1.com. From there, you can go to the sponsors page, find our Amazon link and all of our other affiliates. All of them, when you're doing your Christmas shopping, remember, all of them are having great deals for Christmas. It doesn't cost you any extra to go to the site through ours. It just helps us out when you do.
Know what else is a great gift? Patreon. So, you know what? Instead of buying you an Xbox One or a PS4, I'm going to take that money and invest in GeekWatch One through the Patreon account. Just saying.
Yeah, we're still looking for our first Patreon supporter, guys.
I didn't know you guys had that set up.
We have it set up ready to go. We have patreon.com, and then go to GeekWatch One on there.
At what level do you get the Xbox One?
I don't know. What did Miss Dawn put that at?
At
$400 a month,
Xbox. Yes.
You can get a free Xbox.
All right. Perfect.
Yes.
What?
Signed by Kylan and Ken.
That's right.
At
$400 a month, we'll give them an Xbox One.
And
yes.
I will sign it, and you'll get an attractive black and white selfie of me.
Yes.
Nice. I want one of those.
Hey, in a kilt. in a kilt.
I want a black and white picture of Kylan, like a glossy photo on the wall, framed, mixed in with all this other
stuff. You want it next to your
You know what?
Yeah.
This is what I will do.
You got an autographed Mr. T picture.
I will say this right now.
You also can't even.
If we get somebody to get us at the $100 level, $100 a month, I will give a side hug to every person at Con on the Con. They will get a side hug from a bald-headed black man.
A
side hug.
And they won't even know who the bald-headed black man is.
Yeah, no, I just come from side like this.
Every single person. You know, we had over 800 people last time.
I will do it.
Right arm is going to be like twice the size of his left arm.
And I might have to switch. I might have to be like 400 here or 400 here. But if somebody got us up to 100... side hugs from a bald-headed black man to every person at Comic-Con.
Wow.
Seriously.
Well, you heard it here first, Geeksters. Also, you can find us at iTunes, Stitcher, and the Satchel Player at GeekWatch 1. Now, we still need those 5-star reviews on iTunes, guys. Right now, iTunes is still the number one place for people to get podcasts. But the more 5-star reviews we get, the easier it is to find us on the lists and how on move us up so people can find us. You can go to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Kylan and Ken. You can email us. Now, Geeksters, we're still waiting for emails. We need to know from you what you like about this show. We know you're listening. We know you're downloading it. But we want to know what you like, what you didn't like. If you like more interviews, if you want us to sit and talk more news... gotta let us know. Right now, we're guessing.
I was going to say, how are they going to know if they're talking in the mood?
Can they post pictures?
Exactly. But you go to email us at kylanandken@gmail.com. You can also find us on the Tangent Bound and the Weeby Geeks Network. And actually, there may be some news about Weeby Geeks coming up soon, but we're waiting to work out some details. We'll let you guys know.
Yeah.
So, for Kylan, for Miss Vicky, for Andy and Heather... for Rob and Gandersnitch, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.